Well, we are in a race. We talked about that last week, didn't we? We're in a race. We're runners on God's relay team. This morning, we're going to continue our series titled Passing the Baton of Faith. It's our study through 2 Timothy. It's Paul's final letter. This is a letter written by a man who ran the race, who went all in, who finished strong, and then who wanted to successfully hand off the baton of faith to his dear spiritual son, Timothy. But God is handing this whole baton off to all of us. This is God's word for us, for the church, right here, right now, today. So you ready to continue to listen to what God has to say? Are you ready? By the way, I still have the baton. If any kid comes up here and pulls this out of the podium, you know, and I don't have it next week, look out. Because it will become a game of football, not a race anymore. You know what I'm saying? So last week, we were reminded that just as others have gone before us, as others have run and are running the race, as others have paved the way, as others have been advancing the kingdom of God and then passing the baton of faith off from generation to generation to generation, as others have gone before us, we too are called to leave a heritage of faith. See, if you're in Christ Jesus, you've grabbed the baton. You've got the baton. We're running the race. But we have an eternal perspective now. God's word makes sure that we have an eternal perspective. That we know that this isn't just about right here, right now, today. This is about His story, what God is doing now and forever, and will culminate in the return of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we've grabbed the baton, we're running. But we know there are those that we are called to pass it on to. There are those we're called to pass it on to today that will also become runners in the race. In the first service, we had an altar call, and people said yes to Jesus, and we have new runners in the race alongside of us, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we're passing the baton of faith off from generation to generation. The passing of the baton continues. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 1, beginning in verse 6. 2 Timothy 1, beginning in verse 6. Let's keep passing this baton. For this reason, Paul writes, for this reason I remind you, speaking to Timothy, his spiritual son, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Passing the baton of faith involves fanning into flame the gift of God. What is this gift of God? I'd like to look to the words of Jesus to see what we're supposed to be fanning into flame. It's found in Luke 11, verse 13. Jesus is saying that if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Speaking about gifts, this is in the context of gifts. If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So Jesus calls the Holy Spirit a what? A gift. He is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. And Paul, in the passage of Scripture that we just read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, clearly defines this gift that we're called to fan into flame. He defines that gift as the Spirit God gave us. Fan into flame, the gift of God, the Spirit God gave us. The Spirit God gave us, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is an amazing gift. Amazing gift. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And He is our gift from Jesus. And Paul wants to make sure that this gift is passed on to Timothy and to the whole church from generation to generation. Notice that this gift, the Holy Spirit, was received through the laying on of hands. It was a purposeful act. And that the flame of this gift, the intensity of the Holy Spirit can be fanned, can be increased. How about that? The intensity of God in our lives, the intensity of His presence, the intensity of the Holy Spirit, we can fan it, we can increase it, we can ask for more, we can expect more. Paul is telling Timothy, who by this time was leading the church in Ephesus, a huge city. This was a pastor of a very large local church, Timothy. And Paul is telling this man of God, Timothy, his spiritual son, keep fanning into flame that gift. Keep fanning into flame the Holy Spirit in your life. Keep letting Him increase in your life. And God's telling that to His church today and tomorrow and the next day. Fan into flame the gift. Fan into flame my presence. Fan into flame the Holy Spirit. What's the result of fanning into flame the Holy Spirit? What's the result of this Spirit-filled life? Well, Paul is very clear. He spells it out. He says power is one of the results of fanning into flame this gift of the Holy Spirit. That love is another one of the results. And self-discipline. How many of you want more of the power of God in your life and displayed in and through your life? I want it. I want it. Tab gave that testimony of what happened, you know, with that couple and them receiving Christ. And I mean, come on, that's the power of God moving and transforming lives, pulling people out of the pit of darkness and bringing them into the marvelous life in eternity in heaven with their Creator, their Heavenly Father. That's awesome. That's the power of God moving through His church as the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, is fanned into flame and not extinguished, not hid under a bushel, but gets bigger. And bigger. How many of us want more love? It's Valentine's Day. You know, it's the day of love. Ooh, love, 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 whatever. All right. So we all want more love. God has an amazing love for us, the kind of love that would cause Him to send His Son from His right hand in heaven to earth to take our penalty of sin upon Him, to go to the cross and to give us new life, to save us, to rescue us. That kind of big God love. How many of us want more of that? We all do, don't we? Fan into flame the gift of God, the Spirit of God. Fan it into flame. And let's watch the love increasing in our lives and through our lives. And I know, personally, I need more self-discipline. I know I'm probably the only one in the room. You know. Anyway, we all need more self-discipline. And as we fan into flame, you know, sometimes it's like focus on the problem and just get your hands around it. You know, just stop doing that. And if you just focused on that, you'd stop doing it. And Paul is saying, look, when you fan into flame, instead of over here, look to God, fan into flame the gift of God. Let the Holy Spirit just continue to pour into you and pour into you. And next thing you know, self-discipline, it's just part of your life. It's just who you are. Fan into flame the gift of God. Increase the presence of God. Make room for God, the word the Lord gave us this year. Make room for God, make room for others. And watch the power, the love of God increase and self-discipline increase in your life. God's ways are right. They're not necessarily our ways, but they're right. Let's grab them. Let's run with them. Recalling that song, more love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. Whew. Fan into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul tells Timothy, and all of us running the race of faith, he's telling us to go after the things of God, to run the race. I appreciated Carlos earlier in our ministry time. You know, just made that statement that the Lord gave us earlier this year when God was encouraging me just to go. And he said, be who you are, say what you know, and give what you have. And when we just do that, when we just go be who we are in Christ Jesus, Tab did it in her shop this week. When we just be who we are, when we just say what we know Jesus, we know He's the hope, we know He's the answer. We know that's where it's at. And when we just give Him, when we give the gospel, when we give His love to other people, man, things happen. Heaven comes down. People's lives change. That's running the race of faith. But sometimes it's uncomfortable. It's not always easy. Paul says in the same statement about fanning into flame and all this love and this power and this self-discipline is going to happen in your life. He also says, join with me in suffering for the gospel. We still live in a broken world. By the power of God, though, we can run the race that's set up before us. Remember all that Paul went through? All the beatings and the whips and the rods and the stonings and the without food, without water, without a place to stay. All that stuff he went through. Yet the power of God was on that man. And the kingdom of God was flowing through that man. Glorious, amazing. It is God who's called us to live this way. And it's because of his grace. Because of his unlimited power. That power that has rescued us, that saved us, that's justified us, that's sanctifying us, that set us free. That amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Because of that, we can run the race with confidence and with success. I want to continue in verse 9. He has saved us. Jesus has saved us. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Now check this out. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. He's done this. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death. How many of you need to be reminded of that? Jesus has destroyed death. He's destroyed it. He's destroyed death and he's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Again, God's picture, his story, his way of looking at things is eternal. His plans are eternal. His goodness is eternal for us. Verse 11, and of this gospel, Paul writes, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able, God is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. His grace is enough. God's grace is enough. His grace is enough. Now this church is filled with people who are running the race of faith in this kind of way. In this way where we're leaning on the grace of God, not on our own understanding, not on our own strength, not our own talent, not our own wisdom, but we're leaning on the grace of God. This church is filled with people who are fanning into flame the gift God's given, the Spirit of God, asking for more of Him, receiving more of the Holy Spirit, walking by the Spirit, learning more and more to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, embracing God and all that He has for us. This church is filled with those kinds of people. And I want to bring one of those men in the church that are walking this way, have been walking this way for a very long time. I want to bring Carlos. He's one of our elders here at Evident Life Church up. Carlos and his wife, Natalie, their five children. These are people. This is a family who is running this race. They're leaning into God. They're fanning into flame the gift of God. And it's evident. So, Carlos, come up. I want to hand you off the baton. What's God saying, my friend?
God is saying that we are called to love. We're called to love God. We're called to love one another. It's great, as Eric was saying, it's Valentine's Day. Today is the day that our culture celebrates love. But today I want to talk about something that goes deeper than the type of love that we celebrate with flowers or roses. It's about a love for God, the God in heaven who created us, who loves us and cares for us. I'm excited to be able to share this message with you all. So usually when I'm speaking publicly, I'm doing so in my capacity as a faculty member, as a professor at ASU, where I teach classes on marriage and family relationships and how to help parents to teach their children to do well and to keep families together and help them thrive, or I'm talking about data analysis and statistics, which I really like to do. And those are all fun things to do, but that's not really what I'm passionate about. I'm much more passionate about God and about loving Him and serving people. Today I'm going to be talking, and the primary text is going to be in Matthew 22, and this is towards the end of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus has been out, he's been healing the sick, raising the dead, blessing people, correcting wrong thinking, and the lawyers of the day, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they come to Jesus and they're kind of asking him, what, at the end of the day, what's the most important thing? And Jesus, in answering the question, we'll start in verse 37. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." See, we are called to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. With everything. Last week, somebody was sharing up here about how we can't allow the enemy to have certain strongholds in our lives where the enemy can come and hang junk and weigh us down. And this text right here, Jesus is telling us we have to love him with everything we have, because if we don't, we're going to get in a lot of trouble. We're supposed to love him because he first loved us. And one of the things I love about God and about the Word is that God doesn't just call us to do something and then say, "Now go figure it out. I hope you can figure it out. We'll try, you know," and then, you know, thinking of the Olympics and the diver dives in and they go, "Oh, it's an 8.3. Good try. It's pretty good. Let's see. Okay, let's come over here. Let's see how you do." He doesn't do that. The Word teaches us how to love God and love others. And we can look in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, Paul tells the church, he tells us, "Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." That's it, the last part of that. We are to love others and to serve him. Christ is our example. And if we look at Christ and what he did for us, we can see that he gave everything he had. He was all in. He paid a costly price along the way. But he did this so that we could have fellowship with our Father and fellowship with one another. So I think about what Christ has done for me and for all of us. I think about him leaving heaven, you know, where the streets are paved with gold, where there's perfection. There's no sin, there's no sorrow, nothing. And it's perfect. And he left and he came to give us life and life abundantly. He was on a mission. He was on a mission that God started, that God directed, and ultimately that God fulfilled. And we too are called to love one another in practical ways, in very specific ways. And we can see in 1 John 3, one of the ways to do this. In verse 16, it says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods, and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against them, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." And at Evident Life Church, I'm happy to say that we've done this really well. As the church started, we really began doing this by loving and serving members of the household of God, people right here at Evident Life. We had meals at each other's houses. We helped people move. I don't know how many times, at least two or three times you guys helped my family move. Lots of people moved. We'd have people coming up to us when we were moving other families, and they'd say, "Can we hire you guys? You look really good," because we were doing it so often. We should have taken them up on that offer. More recently, we love and we serve people that don't have a home. They're in transitions along their journey, and we've opened up a homeless ministry so that people can come into this church a couple times a month and they can receive dinner and a safe place to sleep and breakfast. We partnered with Open Arms right over here so that people in our community that need food, we can love them practically by giving them opportunities to come in there and to get food for their family. A few years ago, we started the adoption ministry. So we partner with families in the church to help them, encourage them and help them financially so that they can fulfill the calling that the God has for them to expand their family and to serve children that need a mother and a father. They can bring them into their homes. These are journeys that the Evident Life family has been on. And it's been a good journey. There's ups and there's downs, But God is faithful and he is always good to us. And the Valiente family, my family, is on a journey where God has been calling us to love and serve orphans and widows. This started about 6 or so years ago where the Lord called us to take care of my wife's grandmother as she was dying of dementia. We brought her into the home, and by his grace, it was a great experience. We loved and we served her as she was dying. And at about the same time, he called us to adopt children from Ethiopia, and we stepped out with his support, with practical support from you guys. And we fulfilled that call, and we brought 3 children into our home. Amen. He's been teaching us that loving and serving him is good, but it's not always easy. As we were singing about earlier, you step out of the boat, you step out in the water, and it's hard to do. But as we were singing about earlier, he makes us brave. He lets us do it. When we partner together as a church, as a family of God, we can do big and bold things. The word tells us that 1 puts 1,000 to flight and 2, 10,000. And what God is teaching us is that when we come together, we can do things that we can't do individually. We've seen that in our life, in the lives of so many of you guys. As we've been serving in those ways, we haven't done it alone. I mean, I can look around the room and I can see people who brought us really good chicken pot pie. So if you go through a hard time, let me know and I'll hook you up with this person. They have great pot pie. People came over and literally folded our laundry and just put it away for us. People encouraged us and prayed for us. They came up to us and gave us money so that we could do this, so that we could fulfill the calling that the Lord has for us. As we are going to continue to embrace that calling, the Lord has presented an opportunity for my family and I, and really the entire church family, to step out in a new calling. See, we've been going through a season where God is calling to us to love. And we're called to love international. Recently, my wife and I, the Kleins, the Browns, formed Call to Love International, which is a nonprofit here in Arizona, for the purpose of serving widows and orphans in Ethiopia and abroad. My family and I are planning to move to Ethiopia this summer or early fall to continue to embrace that calling, to step out into the calling that the Lord has for us, to love and to serve others. We are glad we're anchored here in the church. We're glad that the Kleins and the Browns and the entire church family are going to be here, and we invite you on this journey with us. We invite you to go out and to serve and to help us to serve. We're moving to Ethiopia to help the poorest of the poor. We're moving to Ethiopia because we're called to love and help women like this, Masai and her daughter. We're moving there to help her to have the resources that she needs so she doesn't have to make the decision about does she abandon her child or watch her wither away. We're moving there to help her so that she can find dignified work where she doesn't have to sell herself or beg on the streets so that she has money to feed her child. We're moving to Ethiopia because we're called to love children like this. These are children in the preschool that we visited this summer when we went out on a short-term mission trip to see what the Lord would have for us. Children like this girl on your far left who live in extreme poverty, whose parents make maybe $1 a day, which even in an area like Ethiopia, you can't live on that. We're moving there to help her. We're embracing the idea that hope changes everything. That when Jesus steps into the room, things change. We're moving to Ethiopia because we're called to love people that live in extreme challenges, that live in and around this area here where people discard their belongings. This is where tens of thousands of people go and they find their food, where they line up because they know that certain restaurants or hotels or establishments, they dump their food on certain days and that's when you get the good stuff. They find their belongings in there to sell. We're moving to Ethiopia, and we are very glad they have awesome food that we love. We're super, super glad they have the best coffee in the world. This is the best stuff. If you don't drink coffee and you come to visit us, you will leave converted. It's really good stuff. We're moving to Ethiopia to be who we are, to say what we know, and to give what we have. And that is our long-term vision. It's a multi-year vision where we go off and embrace the calling that the God has for us. And as I'm sure many of you guys know, when he gives a long-term vision and a long-term passion for something like this, he often gives short-term steps about how do you actually make this work. I was out walking this morning early and praying, and I was going through a part of our neighborhood I don't often go into, and it was dark, and I was kind of going through the grass and rocks, and I wasn't quite sure how I was going to make it to this path. I knew where I was going. I knew I wanted to go to the store to buy some markers, but I didn't quite know how to get there the way I was going, but the lamp along the way guided me, and I'm reminded of Psalm 119, and it says, "The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." And as we step out, as I stepped out over those little boulders, I could see just a little bit further in front of me. And God showed me, okay, now go this way and that way. And that's kind of the journey that we've been on for some time now. We're super blessed in this next immediate season to be able to partner with Embracing Hope Ethiopia. Embracing Hope Ethiopia serves women and children like I showed, and they do so in a number of different ways. They do so primarily by operating a preschool and a school where they teach children. They feed children multiple times a day. They help them with first aid. They help the moms get trained for, step into, and excel in different jobs. They do this so that God's people can have what he wants them to have so that he will be glorified. We visited Embracing Hope this summer with a team, and I'm so grateful that Linda and her husband are here. Everyone say hi to Linda. All of the kids called Linda Mama. It was great. So I'm so glad that you're here today to be able to share with us. We're moving there to teach and feed children. We're moving there to love and serve family. Families. We're moving there because it's amazing to see moms experience joy when they can provide for their children in dignifying ways. Along the way, we taught the kids that our God is big and strong and mighty, and that there's nothing he cannot do. We taught them that they serve a God who's really big, but they would always say, big. So big. And that just resonated with me because we've been going through this time for the season where there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know all the details, but we remember that our God is so big. And he's good and he's mighty. And there's nothing that he cannot do. Over the last few weeks, we've had multiple conversations with the Shannons who run Embracing Hope Ethiopia, and they know about our plans and our long-term vision, and they've asked us to come out there with them and serve them in at least two key ways. They said, we really need help with child development and understanding family functioning, and we really need help with data analysis and statistics. My God is so big and strong and there's mighty. There's nothing he cannot do. And so we prayed and we asked, Lord, is this it? Because we really wanted to know. We wanted to know that we know that we know this is how God wants us to do it. We want to be faithful to his calling, but flexible in our strategy. We wanted to say yes, but we weren't really sure. So we prayed. We embraced the Daniel fast. We sought counsel from a multitude of people. We waited. We cried. We dreamed. We didn't know how this could happen, and then all of a sudden, we had this moment that was like, but God. All of a sudden, God showed up. Those were my favorite words in the Bible, because we usually see God's people getting themselves into predicaments, and it's challenging, and it looks really bad. They're about to die. The armies are surrounding him, and then, but God. And God shows up, and everything changes. We sang about that last week. When Jesus walks into the room, everything changes. And about halfway through the Daniel fast, I was downstairs making squash soup. The vision God gave me was much better than the soup. And I was just stirring, and all of a sudden I just started talking to my wife, and I said, okay, Natalie, so, all right, how about we do book, you know, and I just listed off five or six ways to make this happen, and she just looked at me, and we both knew that Jesus walked into the room and things were changing. We looked at each other and we said, this is it, we can do this. Tomorrow will mark 3 weeks since I walked into my boss's office, and I said, you know, I'm passionate about these things. You know I care about these things. You know we want to embrace these ideas that we can change things. And as my job as a faculty member, I don't simply want my work to be evaluated by how many more grant dollars I get or publications I write. I want my work to be evaluated by how many lives we can impact in a meaningful way. We need to go do something that's different. We need to not just write about it. We need to go change things. We need to apply what we do on a daily basis. We need to do this. This is the right thing to do. I've got a 2-year vision over about how to do this. There's multi-phases in 2 years, and I can see him after about 3 minutes. He's nodding his head in agreement with me, and I'm thinking, we're moving to Ethiopia. And he says, you should do it. You should go. You should go out for a year. Okay, well, let's back up. I've got a 3-phase plan over 2 years. Okay, and he goes, you should go do it for, you know, and within 3 more minutes now, he's cleared my responsibilities for much of next year to go and to serve these people, to do what we've been talking about, to help them with their programs so that they can more effectively and continually long-term invest and serve these children. Isn't that great how God works? He gives you a vision, he shows you there's a way, and gives you opportunities to continue to trust him. So we're grateful. We know that when trials come, it gives us opportunities to grow in our faith. We weren't sure how all this would happen, but rather than telling you a little bit more, I'm going to let the kids that we worked with and served with this summer sing a little song that we taught them that will show us how all of this is going to be possible. There's nothing that he can do. As I was sharing 20 minutes ago, I was talking about how a little boy can give what little he has. And when he gives it to Jesus and Jesus prays over it and blesses it, amazing things can happen. This is an exciting journey. This is going to be a challenging journey. It may seem like an impossible journey, but we know that when Jesus shows up, the impossible can happen. We know from his word that when he called Peter out of the boat, he called Peter to do something that's not possible. It's not possible to walk on water. The closest I've ever come to walking on water is when we had some good friends over and we threw water on the cool decking of our pool and when we walked on top of it. And that seemed really easy at the time, and it was kind of a fun, cute game to help teach our kids. But we know that when he called Peter out of the water, it looked really impossible, but Peter got out of the boat, and he said, I'm going to trust you, Jesus. And he got out there, and the waves came, the storms came, and it was difficult. And we know that Peter didn't quite make it all the way there. He looked at the waves, and there was fear, and Peter started to go down under the water, but Jesus didn't look at him and go, oh, man, he was close. Let's try, you know, Don, let's try you. Come on up. Can you try? Let's see if Don can get a little further. He didn't do that. He reached out to Peter and he grabbed his hand. And in grabbing his hand, he brought him closer to him. As we step out in the boat, as we step out in the boat, as you guys step out into the boat, or step out of the boat and into the water to what God calls you to do, Jesus will meet you there and he will make a way where there seems to be no way. We're inviting you guys on this journey. We don't want to go on this journey alone. As mentioned, to go 1,000 to flight, 2,000, 10,000. There's great power when the people of God unite. We're inviting you to go on this journey with us in some very practical ways. William Carey was the founder of Modern Missions, and he talked about his willingness to go out, and he likened it to going out and rappelling down a deep mine. And he said, I will go if you will hold the rope. He told his supporters, he said, you should never let go of the rope, you understand me? There is great responsibility attached to this business. So we invite you, join us on this adventure. Some practical ways now is we've made some of these ropes, and then you can get them after the service in the room on my back left. And the rope, when you look at it carefully, is three different ropes, three cords that are braided together, because God's word teaches us that the three-folded cord is not easily broken. These cords represent God, us, and the church, woven together because that combination will not be easily broken. At the bottom of the rope, you'll see an anchor, and that anchor represents and reminds us that we don't go out alone, that we go out anchored in you guys. We need you guys to pray for us and encourage us and give us grace when we make mistakes along the way, or we look at the waves and we start to sink a little bit. Earlier, Mark Sakura was sharing a word at the 9 o'clock service, and he was reminding all of us and calling all of us that when the body of Christ gets together and we journey together, amazing things can happen. So we want you guys to help us. We're inviting you to help us by holding the rope. Pray for us as we mentor the mission field in an unconventional way. We were encouraged last week to pray big, to pray hard, and to pray long. Come talk to us in the room after the service so we can tell you more about this vision. We have a big vision, a multi-year vision. We have some practical steps that we'd like to share more with you guys. And as I end today, I want to thank those who have been helping us to follow Christ. Some of you have been helping longer than others. My mom and her husband are here. She's been helping me probably the longest and encouraging me the longest. And urging us on and telling us, you can do this, you can do this. We will hold the rope with you. Others of you have made breakfast for me on Thursday mornings and encouraged me, or given me the privilege of talking to you on Tuesday mornings as we go to work and hold each other accountable and challenge each other and encourage each other and extend grace to one another. Some of you have reminded me that fear is not my friend, that God will make a way and He will refresh us. Some of you have allowed me to lead on the Tuesday morning Bible study in our life group. We love you guys. We're going to stay connected. For a season, it will look different. When we were in Ethiopia this summer, families that we talked to, they encouraged all of us to count the cost. They said over and over, Natalie and Carlos, count the cost. And the biggest cost by far is the thought of leaving you guys for a season. We don't know how long it will look like, or how long it'll be, or what it'll look like. But far and away, that is the most difficult thing for us to look at doing. And so we invite you to pray for us in key areas. We'll have sign-up sheets in the back where we can give you more specifics. But right now, I want to ask you to pray in four key areas. The first one is our spiritual strength. The word tells us we battle not against flesh and blood, although I'm sure it'll look like at times, but against powers and principalities of evil. Pray for us that we would remain faithful to the calling, flexible with a strategy, students of the word, that as we're there and teaching our children, that we can teach them really that God is big and strong and mighty and there's nothing He cannot do. We want you to pray for our current and future housing situation. See, we have a house that we felt for some time we needed to let go of and we needed to sell. So in a couple of weeks, the sale sign will go up and we're going to sell our house. We're going to let go of a lot of possessions so that we can go and serve God because He's worthy. And although it was not my plan 5 years ago to do this, we know that God's plans are the best plans. Pray for us that we find a house that has water and electricity and internet connection on more days than not. We have some friends that have lived there, and they encourage us, if you ever wonder if you should take a shower, do it, because the next day you may not have water. So pray for us. Send us essential oils so we smell good. Pray for our work visa, for my work visa. So I'll go and step out in the boat, and I'll have 30 days to turn a long-term one-year visa. And right now there's somebody about 9,000 miles away. And this person is going to need to sign the documents that lets me stay in the country for a year and work. There's uncertainty. We don't know what it'll look like, but we know that God is faithful and He will make a way. Pray for our provision. We've seen God to be faithful over and over. A little over 3 weeks ago, we were looking at doing this, not quite knowing where any of this would come from. But God went before me and amazingly just opened up the door for me to keep my job and my paycheck for this next season. We don't know what it looks like beyond that. We don't know all of the costs that we are going to have. But we know we serve a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's been faithful before. He'll be faithful again. He's funded adoptions completely in this church within weeks. All the money that people needed. I'm wearing these shoes today. It's a reminder to me of God's faithfulness. You see, a couple years ago, I needed a new pair of shoes, and I just finished reading a book about a gentleman who needed shoes, and he was praying because he couldn't afford them, and somebody came up to him and just gave him a new pair of shoes. And I found myself in this situation where I needed a new pair of shoes, and that story immediately popped to mind. So although I could have bought a pair, I knew what the Lord was telling me, so I was just praying that God would send me a pair of shoes. And about a couple days later, a week or so later, my mom calls me and says, "Hey, how are you doing?" And we're chit-chatting. She goes, "Hey, do you need a pair of shoes?" And I said, "Send them." And she goes, "Well, you're not going to know, you know, are they going to fit?" And I'm like, "Send them. They're going to be fine." And they're a really good, comfortable pair of shoes. This is the God we serve. This is not just the God Natalie and I serve. This is the God all of us serve. And God, as He calls all of Evident Life Church on this journey, we need to remember that God is faithful and He will make a way. This is about God. This is not about my family partnering with the Browns or the Kleins. This is not just about Evident Life. Today is about loving God and loving His people and embracing the calling He has on all of our lives. I'm going to end with a quote from George Mueller, who's been a hero of mine. He's a hero of the faith. George Mueller cared for thousands of orphans in Bristol, England some time ago. He's a man of faith, and as he prayed, the Lord provided over and over again. George Mueller said to his followers one time, he said, "If the Lord fails me at this time, it will be the first time."
He will not fail. He will not fail. That's big news. Exciting. God is big. He is big. He's big. And this is a family, the Valientes, who understand that God is big. And they're willing to fan into flame their faith to the point of saying yes to God. But the Valientes are not alone. I want us to jump back very quickly to 2 Timothy. Continuing in chapter 1, verse 13. "What you heard from me," Paul is writing to his spiritual son, to his beloved friend in the faith, fellow church member, he's saying, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." And then he starts talking about some people in his life. And first he says, you know, that everyone in the province of Asia, they've deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. And may the Lord show mercy, though, to the household of Onesiphorus. Because this guy, this home, these people, he often refreshed me, was not afraid or ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when this fellow brother, I'm expanding it a little bit, when this dear friend in the faith, when this man, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. I wanted to finish with these words from 2 Timothy 1 because they remind us that when we strap on the running shoes, when we grab the baton, when we run this race of faith, we are not alone. We have one another. Carlos and Natalie and the 5 children are not going to Ethiopia for this next season alone. They are going very much connected to the body of Christ, very much connected to dear friends and loved ones who are spiritual brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and children in the Lord. They're not going alone. You're not going alone. And they know that. As we do life, as we follow God, as we step out of the boat into the waves of life and into the rooms that God calls us into the people's lives that we're called to bring the light to, we are not going alone. God is with us. And He's very strong with us. His grace is with us. His power, His love is with us. The Holy Spirit guards us. The Holy Spirit protects us. The Holy Spirit encourages us. But God also uses the church family to do the same. That when you step out of the boat, that your church family is here to guard you, to protect you, to encourage you, to be used by God to make a way for you. Again, it's that common theme throughout Scripture that we're not alone. So the Valientes are not alone. They are not alone. They got some really good coffee, apparently. So they're all good. As the Valientes, and as each one of you continues to fan into flame that gift of God, continues to make room for God, I'm just so excited what's going to happen and how God is going to continue to be glorified. Big things happen. When we grab the baton and run, big things happen. When we make room for Him, big things happen. When we fan the flame, that gift of God, and we get more of Him in our lives. I'd like to call the Valiente family up, the whole family up here to the front. And church, let's extend our hands to them. We're going to pray over them right now. They're not leaving tomorrow, at least we don't think, right? Summer, fall, sometime in there. Somebody's got to buy their house, he said. Somebody in this room. Anyway. Elders and deacons here that are here in this service, come on up here. Let's lay hands on this family. Let's pray for them. Church, extend your hands. Let's pray for our brother, our sisters, and let's just bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You that You've gone before Carlos, Natalie, and these children, God, that You've already made a way. God, that You have displayed once again that when we follow You, that You make a way. You make a way. God, I thank You that You've expanded their expectations, that You've already increased their ability to receive from amazing sources, God. I thank You that You've given them vision and a heart for Your people, that You've shown them their mission. You've shown them their place for this next season, God. And instead of saying, I don't know, it's too big, they said, yes, God. And You are glorified in it. And You are glorified. So we bless You in the name of Jesus. We bless each one of you, Valientes. We are just overjoyed and grateful that we're part of what's happening here. And we move into this with You with excitement and joy because we know our God is big. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Our God is big. Amen. Let's all say it together. Let's say it. Our God is big. One more time. Our God is big. He's big. Big. Amen. Amen. Well, there are some of you who are here today that I think you needed to hear that. That God is big. And this big God who's doing big things loves you and knows you and is drawing you to Him. He is. He loves you. Maybe you're visiting here today. This is your first time in church, maybe ever, maybe for a long time. Maybe you've been far from God for a season. And you feel like He's pulling you back, and so you just thought, okay, I'll walk into a church again. Maybe you've been coming here for a little while. It's no accident that you're here today. You're here because God loves you. Because He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And that plan and purpose involves you being close to Him and being in His family. If you've been feeling that, you've been feeling the Lord drawing you to Him, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Him. To invite Him into your life and for you to become part of His family. So let's bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. If I'm describing you, you can just say this prayer. After me. You can say, Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Thank you for loving me that much. Jesus, Son of God, I need you. I invite you into my life today to change my life, to make me new today and forever. I need you, God, to work in my life. Forgive me of my sins and give me new life. Jesus, thank you for making yourself real to me today. Thank you for loving me. Jesus, I declare right now that you are my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that, you just took a step into a whole new eternity, a step into God's story, a step into His family through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, if you prayed that prayer, to do something bold, but God is worth being bold, as you see with the Valientes. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to invite you just to raise your hand and acknowledge that before God, that you prayed that. Amen. I see hands going up in the room. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Church, what we have is we have new brothers and sisters in Christ that are running the race with us right now. And y'all who raised your hands and prayed that, we rejoice because we love you, because God loves you, and you're part of our family now. You're part of God's family now. We're about ready to close our service. In fact, as we do, would you all just stand up? We're about to close our service. And as we do, and the altar ministry team is coming forward, these just are just good people who love God and love you. As they're coming forward, I want to invite you, before you leave, God's Word says that when we make this kind of decision to make Jesus our Lord and Savior, that we tell it to somebody, that we share it with somebody. And these are our people to share that decision with, because these are people who are going to celebrate with you, who are going to pray with you, who are going to give you some resources, and going to encourage you and give you some more insight into just what amazing thing has just happened in your life. The rest of you, man, if you have needs, you need healing, you need God to move in your life in big ways. There's nothing our God cannot do. He's so big. Come and ask for prayer from the ministry team. Don't leave the same as you came, because God is here. He loves you. He loves you. I just feel like we need to say that. Our God is so big. Let's just say that. Our God is so big. And say this after me. There's nothing my God cannot do. Amen.